Fred Film Radio.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday are Sadri Chetinkaya and Venla Varha, respectively co-director and co-screenwriter, co-editor of a very powerful hybrid documentary called Lost Boys. Not for the squeamish, but that I would definitely recommend. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. We've got Sadri and Venla on the line. And before we talk about this film, before we begin to talk about it in detail, I wanted to find out more about you guys, because it's the first time we speak. So how long have you known each other and where did your creative collaboration begin?
Well, creative collaboration. First, we met actually because we were studying in the same school in Tampere in Finland, media studies, editing, and we were living in a commune together. I had been working on the Lost Boys prequel, Ranger Spotting, for 5 years already. And for the final year of this long project, we decided with Jonas to get Venla on board as a fresh set of eyes, so to speak. And it worked out perfectly. So she continued immediately for the Lost Boys project.
Right. So, I mean, just to fill in the blanks there for the listeners who are not completely familiar with the film yet, let me get this straight. This is a film that's sort of a sequel to Reindeer Spotting, Escape from Santaland from years ago?
It's a standalone sequel. You don't have to see the first one.
Right. But they are connected in some way.
Yes, they are. The main protagonists both appeared in the first one. Meaning, of course, Jonas and Jani.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, just again to not make sure that the listeners know what we're talking about, and they may not be familiar with the film, would you be able to just kind of say a few words about the story so that, and then we'll get into it in more detail, of course.
Lost Boys was a film that was an immediate continuation of a long project about drug addicts of northern Finland. The main protagonist was found dead in Cambodia after going with the director and a friend of his to celebrate the release of the first film. The first film is called Reindeer Spotting, and completing it took in total 7 years. The sequel, Lost Boys, took 10 years to finalize.
That's a big commitment.
I would say we are used to it, and I would say it was worth the 10 years, and it was supposed to take as long as it did to turn out how
right.
It was.
I mean, you know, just from your brief introduction there, it does sound like this film is a blend of reality and documentary, right? I mean, after all, and I gotta be honest, it blows my mind that this film is being presented at CPH Docs, because I had not seen Reindeer Spotting, but I gotta tell you that this film felt more like a modern film noir than a documentary to me. But that's kind of what I wanted to ask you is, do you see this film as blending that line between reality and fiction?
Very heavily. Lost Boys is, in a very strict definition, it's a construct of a narrative. Technically speaking, the trip that Jonas is going through in this documentary, let's say it has been condensed into one package that can be followed as a film noir. Yeah, type of a neo-noir narrative and a detective story. But the pieces of the puzzle it has been constructed out of is real. And the footage itself is real, even though it has been very creatively edited to seem make a quite short time span of continuous story.
Yeah, one sequence or one scene leading to another, that there's this continuation, like plot. We like did it, so it would seem like these things like come after another. But I think it's documentaries are like that, some less and some more, that they are constructs. Nothing is like just the reality.
Definitely. And you have to take in mind that we are both editors. So yes, we have an editor's view toward the material, and we know how much right. It can be rearranged and changed all around.
But were you guys there when the actual footage was being shot, or was it a case that you received the footage and then you constructed it like some sort of a sculpture?
Both. when it came to radio spotting, it had been mostly shot already. But with Lost Boys, we started out with these holiday shots Jonas had filmed with the guys there. And when he went back there to find out what was happened, we basically had a kind of a idea to for him to try to capture what he can on camera in case we can, because it kind of screamed also as a that story. There was a story behind all this. But in the end, there was only, in addition to the holiday footage, there was only 4 actual scenes that were taken from this Jonas's first trips, and the rest of the movie has been shot in several shooting trips. Last one of them was in 2015. So footage from several years has been used to construct this narrative.
So several repeat trips to Thailand, yes, and Cambodia too?
Yes.
Just to make this clear, the footage that was shot, all of it is essentially real. What we see is essentially real. Nothing was constructed.
Nothing was constructed, yeah.
So when we see these men inject needles into their arms, they're actually injecting drugs into their arm.
Yes.
Well, it's a documentary.
Okay, no, but you know, sometimes because it's it's strange enough, but you'd rarely see that.
Maybe we can be considered as connoisseurs.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever done that yourself. I've never done that myself, but I've also never really seen it. I think there's this myth that cinema has the ability to show everything, but I don't think that it's particularly true until you encounter a film like yours that doesn't sugarcoat a theme as delicate as that of drugs, which I don't know how you feel, but it's still taboo, even in the modern world.
Well, yeah, we are dancing around a lot of taboos in this film. Well, with the protagonists and many of the other characters being drug users. I wouldn't say this is a film about drugs, but I have to say that the footage surrounding this is phenomenal. Jonas has a very special talent in capturing the moments, especially in this kind of intimate moments. But yes, considering, as I remind, it's not a construct. He has to compose in real. There hasn't been, because the footage wasn't really much shot in 4K or anything, so we couldn't really realign the footage that much. Most of it can be really seen as a live composition on the fly.
And so what was the equipment that you filmed with?
What wasn't it filmed with? Basically, what we did was always get the best consumer equipment we could afford. Production companies do not provide cameras for this kind of endeavors. So the only footage that was shot with a professional ARRI camera was the footage in the holding cells in between the voiceovers. But consumer stuff, the original party footage was shot in some Olympus tourist camera, motion JPEG stuff, and then, Canon still cameras. It was also important to use equipment that didn't look professional, because basically we were just going around in places like K11, or they're already wearing around the next years or few years of wages for most of these people. So definitely a professional looking film shoot would have just attracted not only too much unwanted attention for the value of the robberies, but also we didn't want to attract attention from the governments.
You didn't have a permit.
Well, we were there on holidays.
There's so much that I'd like to ask you, but I'm going to ask you a simple question now. So the previous film was set in Northern Finland, and this film is set in a completely different setting, Thailand and Cambodia. How do you bring that into the narrative?
It isn't like we really prepared for it, you know. We didn't have any kind of plan that there would be a film in Thailand and Cambodia. They were basically, the party material was just stuff Jonas shot for the fun of it there.
Yeah, we did read books about Cambodia. And
yeah, over the years, we researched it a lot. Yeah, but bringing reindeer spotting into it we did have some kind of a parallel tropes, you would say, in the narrative, taking example of the Khmer Rouge sequence with the Le Marseille playing on the background. It was kind of mirroring the moment Yanis climbing the Eiffel Tower with the Ode to Joy playing in Paris.
Yeah, so there is an awareness and a reflection of where and how this place came to be so closely associated from even a Western perspective, let's face it, with sex tourism and drug tourism.
Well,
we thought about it a lot.
I mean, of course.
I mean, let's face it, you know, it's just something that even when I, for years, when I was in college, people were talking about going to Cambodia or Thailand, not to see the sights, but to have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really have to establish that much because it's such a cultural trope that we could basically just do this Pattaya montage and got enough told with that, I think.
Do you, and so, I mean, you know, this is a question that sort of, it may seem a bit silly, but, and I don't think that this is the type of film that actually concerns itself with this much, but I'd just like to know how you would respond. Were you guys ever worried of going too far?
Personally, I think we would have known when we have gone too far. I don't think we approached too far with this film.
Yeah, there was we build up that femme fatale and you know that sex thing, but we had in the end the girls get to have their say, and that was big part of the balance.
Yeah, and the narrative progresses from this consciously sexist approach, and when Jonas, so to speak, descends deeper into the netherworld, and finally the roles are reversed during the progress of this journey.
Right. Yeah, I mean, also that's the other thing, the other side of kind of feeling like you're going too far is when Jonas is filming all of these dangerous alleyways, I wondered whether, you know, you guys also felt like, you know, are we going too far? Is somebody going to stab us or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, going around those alleyways with him was at times a bit unnerving, but I mean, not as far as unnerving if, you know, doing it alone would have been, because it's so much harder to hang two guys discreetly in an alley, just once.
And did you have ways to, like, psych yourself up to kind of go ahead and go through with it?
Well, of course you were trying to be sharp and aware and look around you, but the most dangerous moments we had was actually with the Thailand police. So, you know, in the end, around those alleyways, I guess there must have been a luck or some kind of guardian spirit, maybe.
What was the trouble you had with the Thai police?
Let's just say they did street busts, and we didn't have a good sense to drive the first layer of police. But then again, we had again some kind of a lucky break, and we just got out going without unnecessary testing.
Cool. Let's talk about the style. I mean, it's a very strong style, but do you have any visual or stylistic references in mind when you come up with that sort of filmmaking style? Very sharp, very raw.
I don't know if we can take credits of inventing that much. I guess we have our own style that comes together with our working group. Of course, there is a lot of inspiration from Gaspar Noé.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's hard to say. I mean, for me, this kind of inspiration, I have seen stuff I like. It lives in my subconscious. I do stuff, and sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's unconscious. References are everything I've seen so far and liked, I guess. I don't know. I always felt this is kind of a weird way to approach. It's always been a weird question. But yeah, stylistic references were definitely Apocalypse Now, Gaspar Noé stuff, some David Lynch in there, you know.
Yeah, David Lynch is always in there, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know, maybe at least in Weirdos.
It's true, it's true. You know, I had actually watched Inland Empire the week before I watched your film, and I just saw a lot of, like, cross references. Not intentional, it's just that...
Inland Empire, I've seen that once.
We watched it together, Satri. We watched it together.
Really?
If you remember. Yeah. At the commune.
Okay, so I've seen it twice because I've already also seen it in a theater.
Yeah, so that's uh-huh. That's a film where that's scary. But I think that even at the scariest parts, you're aware of the fact that those images are constructed. In your film, they're not constructed. Great film. I mean, I love David Lynch.
Well,
that film is underrated when it comes to David Lynch. I mean, nobody talks about it. People say it's a 3-hour long film, but and doesn't make any sense. To me, it makes sense. It's very easy to read.
David Lynch films are too short. I mean, we love Bellatar.
Right. Bellatar.
7 hours.
Right. Well, I have found it to be an original film. But what do you think about that? You mentioned that you didn't want to brag, but you felt that you might have invented a filmmaking style. And that would be a legitimate thing to think about. But how do you feel about people referring to anything you work on as original?
Well, I'm okay with it. I think it's original. I mean, I'm not saying it's not original. I mean, at least I haven't done one like this before. But what I would say about the constructing the material, obviously the visual style didn't come just by, you know, grabbing a camera and going over there and filming what comes. We did a lot of planned locations, and we did have themes like insects and stuff, which we were deliberately seeking out from the milieu. So we did have a strong plan after the initial trips by Jonas, on which direction we were bringing the forthcoming material.
And yeah, I mean, you know, you didn't just go out, but you did have that impulse. And now I'm wondering where that impulse comes from.
Maybe it's because we are Finnish and we have to be, like, humble.
I honestly have to say I wouldn't know what to answer to that question. I mean, for me, it's kind of an underlying process when the film progresses. I mean, I like to script the film on the editing board. Uh-huh. The material comes, we work on it, we see which scenes come alive, and from them we build, I would say, some kind of a golem, a magical construct that comes to life through us. So some kind of a gut feeling when you get something that works and you manage to put it so that it works. You kind of just, you know it. And if there's something that doesn't work, you feel it in your gut and you, even though if you don't consciously know what's wrong with it, repeat this for 10 years and yes, this is what you end up, Lost Boys.
You know, I mean, you know, exactly. Going back to the fact that 10 years seems like a lot of time, cinema allows you to kind of take that time, right? I mean, as an art form. What is your impression on the impact that social media is having on cinema and filmmaking?
I'm not on social media.
You know, I almost would have guessed it. From just hearing you speak, I almost would have guessed it. No. Because it's just the way that you think about images and reflect on things. I don't know. I don't know. I just got that impression. That's why I was interested to bring social media into this conversation. Why are you not on social media?
It doesn't seem interesting enough for me to go on there. I don't know.
So, I mean, something like TikTok, which is the opposite of your film, but at the same time, it's also a construct of this use of video where images blend into one. It constructs a version of the world that may or may not exist, that blends reality and fiction, but at the same time, it's completely opposite to your vision of what cinema should be or how the world should be represented.
I think there's an element of that the social media, YouTube, that everybody can be like the documentarists of their own lives. Then there's like doing an hour long thing and putting it in YouTube. So that doesn't like, those are still like very, do very different things. And still there are like documentarists needed who do that work, that the long narrative for the hour long thing. But I think it's good that people can express themselves and show their reality to the others from social media or YouTube. But it's not really something that just having these small kind of stylistic things, I think, that, you know, come from there. Somebody talked about how YouTubists have this scene where they open a package and was talking like in our film there is this opening of package that these junkies open these drug packages, and that is the same thing and there's the same feeling. So there's small
the
things.
Unboxing videos.
Yeah, unboxing, yes.
I don't know if YouTube will ever come to show, look, let's see what we have in this box. Oh, it's heroin.
Actually, I think Ranger Spotting actually is on YouTube. So there is an unboxing of heroin scene in that.
Are you kidding me? Reindeer Spotting is on YouTube.
I think somebody has posted it, yeah.
But YouTube takes down those kind of things, like, immediately.
Okay, so maybe it's not there anymore.
I don't think so.
Guys, this has been, I feel this conversation has reflected the style of the movie a little bit, and hopefully the listeners were kind of able to keep up with us, and hopefully they were able to be intrigued by it. I gotta say that I loved the film, and I definitely applaud it publicly here. So, and we also have exceeded the time by a lot, and I thank you very much for sticking with me. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.